We'd like to welcome you to The Journey from the Hill. This is a weekly podcast of Chapel Hill Baptist Church. Each week, you'll hear biblical teaching from our pastor, Dr. Shannon Moses. At the end of today's podcast, you'll hear a way to reach out to us with any questions you might have about this message. Now, let's prayerfully listen as Dr. Moses opens the Word of God.
Christ is our firm foundation. I pray that you can say that. I pray that you can say those words and not just say them, but mean them and believe it and hold on to it, that whatever you're going through, whatever life throws at you, whatever happens, that Christ is your rock. He is your hope. This morning, if you've got your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn with me over to the book of Daniel. We're reading through Daniel this week. Again, I'm trying to read through a different book. Sometimes we read through the same book for a couple of weeks because of how long they are. But reading through the book of Daniel this week. Daniel it's difficult in places. Some of it is as straightforward as you can get, very good. But then you get over toward the end of the book of Daniel, you get into some prophetic, some visions, some things out in the future, and it gets sort of difficult at times. But much of it is very easy to understand. It is as straightforward as anything. The character study of the four main characters you find. Yes, you find Nebuchadnezzar, you find King Darius, you find others. But for the most part, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, those four individuals are very easy to understand the story that's wrapped around them. And the truths, the nuggets that you and I can glean from it, the principles, the life application that we can get from those four guys and just their calm assurance, the firm foundation that they had in their God was so evident in their life, evident to the point they were willing to die with it, die for it, okay? Beginning over in the book of Daniel, just give you some backdrop. I want to bring you up to speed on what it is. Some of you may not have read it in a while. You haven't heard the stories. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. You know that story. It's one of those children's stories we talk about pretty often. You know, Daniel in the lion's den, another very familiar passage. But what brought us to that point, you start in chapter 1 of the book of Daniel, and you read this in verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God, and he brought them into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel. And this is where they come in. Pay attention here. Bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youths in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. That's what brought them over. That's what brought them to the point. That's where we are, sort of the backdrop. Look at verse 5. The king appointed for them a daily ration for the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Now among them from the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azrael. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them, and to Daniel he assigned the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. That's what gets us to today, okay? You see the backdrop. They're brought in. These are godly young men. They're good looking. They're wise. They're solid. They're good. Everything about them is solid. The king has said, hey, feed them this food, teach them this way, lead them this way. This is what I want to do. I want you to do. But notice up there, and I emphasized it as I read through it, how it said, teach them about this God. Teach them about the God of the Chaldeans. And that's where we have a problem. Because Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel did not follow the leadership of that God. No, they were followers of the one true God, the God who brought out of the land of Egypt, the exiles, the land, the God who made for his very self, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. That is the God that they worshiped, and they were not going to surrender to this new way of thinking. Guys, this morning, you know this message. You know these points. You know these stories. You could sit up here and you could tell the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how they're thrown into the fiery furnace because they don't bow down to the golden statue. You could talk about how Daniel is thrown to the lions because he doesn't worship the King Darius. He worships his God. And here's the whole point of that. The reason why did they do that? It's found here in the next verse, in verse 8. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Daniel made up his mind. One of the things that we as individuals, I'm not talking about our kids need to do this. I'm talking about we as individuals, each and every one of us who have trusted Christ as our Lord and Savior. We're blood-bought believers. We have been brought from death to life, not because of our goodness, but because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Salvation is not a work of man. Salvation is a complete and total work of God. He sent his son to die on the cross so that you and I, he bore the penalty of sin and death that we should have bore so that you and I could have peace with God. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through him. He is the only name by which men are saved. So when you and I trust Christ as our Lord and Savior, guys, there's something that these four guys have that we must have. When Daniel says here, he says, and Daniel made up his mind, we must not compromise. We must be resolute. We got to be determined in our walk, not to cut corners, not to fudge a little here or a little there. He determined in his mind. The war happens in the mind. Everybody else is bowing down. Everybody else is bowing down to the golden image. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down. Where did that war begin? Where did that war happen? It started in the mind. He was convinced, I am not going to compromise. I know what truth is. The Bible says to him who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. So often, if we're not careful, we'll catch ourselves just a little here or there. What happens is when we do it just a little here or there, and we talk about often, we begin to drift away, we begin to get out of the perfect will of God for our lives, and that conviction, the spirit that dwells inside of us when he begins to convict us of, hey, that's not right, you don't do that, that didn't bring honor and glory to me, that was not yours. You shouldn't have taken it. You shouldn't have said it. You shouldn't have done it. Yeah, but it was a little white lie. It was just a little white lie. It was just a little. Nobody noticed it. Nobody sees it. He refused to compromise. He determined in his heart. And notice what God did. Verse 9, now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. God, Daniel determined, I am not eating the king's food. I'm not eating food that doesn't bring honor and glory to God. I'm not going there. And God honored that commitment. You read on down through the story. You look on down. Look at verse 14. He says, I'm not going to do it. They go to the king's official and says, we're not going to do it. He said, give us 10 days, verse 14. So he listened to them in the matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, their appearance seemed better, and they were fatter than all the youth who had eaten the king's choice food. Why was it? Because they did it God's way. They had the favor of God on them. Everybody else was eating one thing. Here's the deal. The lie is, well, everybody's doing it. The lie is, well, you have to do it. Everybody else is. And the question then comes to you. See, it's not a group. It's not a whole bunch of you. It's you individually. Everybody else is doing it, but what are you going to do? Everybody else is acting that way, but how are you going to act? Everybody else is saying it, but what are you going to say? Everybody else is a part of it, but what are you going to be a part of? When there you sit with every spiritual flag raising that, hey, there's just something wrong here. This isn't right. You've prayed about it in your spirit. There's a conflict and there's a spiritual battle taking place of, I should not. God is looking for men and women who absolutely don't compromise, who are determined, committed, have committed in their mind that I'm going to do what God says do. And here's the thing. We're going to mess up. We're going to fall short and man, I should have, and Lord, I'm so sorry. Here's the difference. Here's where it works. We don't just do it knowing. The Bible says that we sin that grace may abound, God forbid. Do we go sin knowing that God's going to forgive you? No, God's not pleased with that. But when we do find ourselves drifting off into an area, because here's the thing, we're weak. And everybody else was bowing down. We're weak and everybody else was worshiping. And there we stand. Well, Brother Shannon, what would they have said? Think about it. Why do we compromise? It starts out little. It starts out, well, it's not affecting nobody. Nobody will ever know. Nobody will. It's just a little thing. And you know, I got to do it to get that job. I got to do it to get that person. I got to do it to be in that group. I got to do it to be X. That's the lie. And you compromise. You know how it works. And here's the problem. I believe this without a shadow of a doubt. If I was down there with Rob and I had the kids and I had the little people and let's just take the kindergartners, and when I were to teach the kindergartners and say, hey, look, you got to share. You got to give somebody something else. Or, hey, did you do it? Did you take it? Yeah, I took it. You're not supposed to steal. I'm sorry. Give it back. Okay. Don't do it again. Okay. And the next time a kindergartner steals, you say, hey, don't do that. And the next time a kindergartner steals, you say, hey, you don't do that. Or the next time a first grader does something wrong, don't do that. And eventually they get, here's what happens. That box is built around them. Listen, big church, I'm coming to you. That box is built around them to where they sort of build this understanding of, hey, that's wrong, don't do that. I'm not supposed to act that way. I'm not supposed to treat others that way. I'm supposed to share. I'm supposed to love. I'm supposed to, that this is, so you're telling me this honors God. And a kid, it works that way. But what about in the big room of the big church? When you say, yeah, Brother Shannon, but I've been doing it this way for a long time. It's just who I am. It's what got me to where I'm at. It's if I'm honest, it's the mask I've worn for so long. They wouldn't know me as anything else. That's a true story for many people. And this is not one of those deals to where you are looking at the person next to you. This is one of those deals to where you unzip you and you look inside of you. You look at your your public life and your school life and your work life and your social life and your family life and your private life and your secret life. No compromise. Fully devoted, fully committed, fully following Christ. And when we start looking at those areas and when we see things that don't honor God, when we see things that this just isn't right, and when we acknowledge it and when we repent of it and we ask the Lord for forgiveness, see, here's the deal. The God we serve, He will forgive you. The Bible literally says, let me read you what the Bible literally says. I'm not going to quote it. It says right here, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God don't want to zap us. God's not out to just, Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He come to save the world. But that kindergartner, I get it, Brother Shannon, it's easy. I wish you'd have told me back then. I wish you'd have told me 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 30 years ago, because you know good and well. When you start compromising, when you start, well, everybody else was doing it, and I just so well. Fire's hot. Where them boys were sent was hot. The consequences were real. They were literally thrown into the fiery furnace because they would not bow down to that golden image. They literally, if God hadn't have been there, they would have literally died. Daniel was literally thrown into the lion's den because he didn't stop worshiping his God. There was a consequence to obedience. And that's the conflict. That's the struggle. That's where it lies. Because I'm going to be honest, y'all know these stories. I don't have to read them. First service, I had more time and I read them. I don't have to read them to you. You know Daniel in the lion's den. You know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. But the problem is, this invisible God that we can't touch, see, smell, taste, he's invisible. He tells us not to, yet we don't see him. But we see the crowd. We see the masses. We see everybody else. And if I don't, I'm going to be outcast, and I'm going to be made fun of, and I'm going to be ridiculed, and I'm going to be put through the fire. But you know what? When those boys were in the fire, so was Jesus. You say, Brother Shannon, when if I act different and look different, if I could suffer and things could change, and if I got really real, then the life as I know it, I could lose everything. You could lose everything that you gained in your own strength in rebellion through compromise. And on the flip of that, you could gain everything that the God of this universe has to offer through humble, simple obedience. And I get, yeah, but I can see, touch, taste, smell. I benefit, I reap from this, and I just don't know that. Turn over and listen to this. This is what the boys said. Daniel 3, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O King. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O King, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. I'm not going to compromise. Listen, I may die. I may lose my job. I may get fired. I may lose the friendship. I may lose a relationship. I may lose this kingdom that I have built. And that war is in the mind of every person. That struggle, that conflict. Oh, the enemy says, the enemy don't like this. The enemy says, it's not worth it. The enemy says, I mean, he'll give you every rationalizing thought you can possibly come up with. But to him who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. And we can't scrub that off and make that go away and wipe that truth out of existence. No matter how hard we try, or no matter how hard we rub it off, it stands. And we're not judged by a man. Because here's the deal. I have not gave specifics to any individual person and said, you're doing X. It's the Spirit of God that convicts. It's the Spirit of God that points out sin and error and disobedience. And therein lies the conflict, the struggle. Am I going to do what God's telling me to do? And yeah, I may go, they may torch me for this one, but guess what? He'll be right there with me. This is what it comes down to. Do you believe he'll go through the fire with you? Do you believe he'll sit in there with the angry lions with you? Is he real? Is this real? Starts right there. Guys, when you... We're not Rob's group. We're not Rob's group. We're the big kids. We're not the little guys. We're the big kids. This didn't start yesterday. Nope. Hey, don't touch the fire. It's hot. Oh, okay. Check compromise. Unzip it. Holy Spirit of God, look through. Hand him the whole roll of keys and say, you can unlock every door. You can look in every crook, every cranny, every crevice. You have access to it all. And when the Spirit of God says, hey, right here.
We hope you received a blessing from this week's message. If you have any questions about what you've heard from Pastor Shannon this week, you may call our church office at area code 205-339-4071. We pray that God's word strengthens you as you go on your journey today.